we continue our story about Bayou LaBatrie, Alabama. Don't let the town's population of 2,300 mislead you. With its shrimp fleet, seafood processors, and shipbuilders, this was one of the busiest maritime hubs in the region. But the poverty rate here is twice the national average. Many people barely get by, and that's especially true for seasonal seafood workers. Katrina made their lives that much harder.
They're picking up like two, three of them.
Small one all the way back on the side.
We're on a small flat-bottom skiff with two fishermen pulling crab traps out of Mobile Bay. Ordinarily, each would be on his own boat, but since the storm, Nopa Don Vong Keo has had to pick up crew work. The Laotian immigrant moved to Bayou LaBatrie last year, bought a small boat, and put out about 300 crab pots. Then Katrina struck. His crab traps were washed away, and he still hasn't found his boat. It's just gone. Now he works for a friend, hoping to save up and start over.
I'm trying to work, but I don't have the money yet. My plan is to stay here.
How much do you make working for somebody else?
He give me like, you know, 100 a day, but someday like we don't go, like yesterday we don't go, like, I don't get money.
Sue Chintapaset is helping us translate. She lives in Bayou LaBatrie and is now working for Boat People SOS. She explains that this crabber was turned down for a small business loan because of a lack of records to prove his operation's worth. That's been a problem for several of her clients.
Most Asians, if you get turned down, they're the type that they don't want to fight. If you say no, that's no. They will work, you know, with their 10 fingers and trying to support the families.
Is there work for people? I mean, when you have people come to you and say, what do I do, and you try to get them a job, what do you tell them?
I mean, there's constructions, and there is like office work, but most Asians, they don't have educations to do that. And as construction works, most places require a license for electricians. I don't think they can do it, just pick crabs. You know, shrimp industry, oyster, that's about it.
Are those jobs back in Bayou LaBatrie?
They're back, but they're not working normally like they're supposed to do. Now it's like 2 days a week, and you only make $20, $30 a day. After the hurricane, everything just went down. You know, there's no work. There's seafood is not like before. Everybody's suffering.
Take Molly Hote, a 41-year-old former crab picker. We visited her last November. She was living in a FEMA camper trailer with her six young kids. Relief worker Bao Dang was there to help her navigate the maze of hurricane relief paperwork.
Yeah, you sign it. Yeah, send it in, okay?
Yeah.
Then they get some food stamp for the children. The children have no food. You know, nothing.
No, leave it!
Molly Hote has a complicated hurricane story. As a teenager, Molly fled her war-torn homeland of Cambodia. After living at a refugee camp in Thailand, she finally made it to the United States. For years, she picked crabs in Bayou LaBatrie, long hours of hard work, getting paid by the pounds of crab meat she could produce each day. It was barely enough to support her growing family. A Cambodian friend in Washington State told her she could make good money there as a card dealer in a casino. So she put her small children in the care of an adult daughter in Alabama and crossed the country in search of higher wages. Then she saw the pictures of Hurricane Katrina on CNN. She rushed home to find her kids, leaving everything behind, including her job. She was denied unemployment benefits.
Denied because I quit no reason. I said I have to run away from here because my daughter, all my kids are missing. All water.
She said, before Katrina, she said the life is very easy, but after Katrina, she said something like that. She go back to ground zero in her homeland.
Molly Hote has relied on a local church for food and clothes, But other than the FEMA trailer, she's not doing too well signing up for more help.
But I try, you know, apply everything. They don't give me anything. Because I don't know how to speak.
Too hard for me, I don't know why.
Too hard. Well.
Because lâu rồi nhom ah tắc chết á, tao à xong apply của mình ban, FEMA có chưa nhom ah tắc chết á lâu.
She says she want to give up. Don't give up. We still try to help you. Don't give up.
Ever since the French built a gun battery along the bayou here in the 18th century, Bayou La Batrie has been at the mercy of nature. And storms seem to mark turning points for the town, known after the Civil War as a coastal resort with fine hotels and even an opera house.
Hurricane of 1906 did a lot of damage. And then 1916, and they just never recovered from that.
Juanita McRoy and her husband Arthur are members of the local historical foundation. Their home is on high ground, a lovely hillside on the opposite end of town from the water. Both of them grew up here. Juanita was the postmaster for a time.
When I started working in the post office, and when I was growing up too, there was a big French population here, the descendants of the original French. And every morning they would come in the post office and they would just, you know, chatter, chatter, chatter. They're French back and forth.
And they didn't speak very good English either, but they did speak English.
But they couldn't read and write.
Tell them about them Portuguese coming in and talking about them damn foreigners.
I won't call a name, but a prominent man around here moved in here from Portugal. And he just, you know, got really wealthy here in the seafood industry. But when the Orientals started moving in, after the end of the Vietnamese War and all, came in just fussing and fussing, blankety blank blank foreigners. It's taken over this town. I couldn't help but be amused. And the reason they, of course, they moved to the coast because that's what they were familiar with over there. And they're good people. Most of them are. You know, you've got bad and good like everybody else. And they're hard workers. So it's just different. The whole downtown section is totally different now. Just about all the businesses, of course, they're gone now too, but were Oriental. It had kind of gotten real depressed before the hurricane because of the economy. Now it's, are we going to be able to get our boats out of the swamp, and are we going to be able to get our houses back? You know, that's the big issue now. Kind of equalized everybody. But since that hurricane, I don't see there's ever any hopes for it again. It'll never be the same. It will never, ever be what we knew it to be.
The most stark reminder of what Hurricane Katrina did to Bayou La Batrie is at the end of a muddy dirt road swarming with biting yellowflies. Here in the piney woods, four rusting ships loom above you. They're among the two dozen still stuck on dry land. The boats belong to Vietnamese fishermen who don't have insurance or the means to hire cranes to lift the vessels back into the bayou. The boats have become part of the green landscape, pine limbs intertwined with shrimp nets.
Long-term recovery, I told somebody, is that. It's long-term recovery. I know it happened overnight, and unfortunately, it's just one of those things that takes time.
Debbie Jones has the job of overseeing that recovery for the town of Bayou La Batrie. It's now the first weekend in May, and we've met her along the waterfront industrial district to get a sense of progress here.
Initially, with all our seafood processing plants down,
All of them were down?
Oh, yeah. Everybody here was flooded. We have never had the magnitude of water that we had. So all of this was shut down.
So the whole industry in this town was basically gone.
Everything. We are standing outside of what used to be one of our larger seafood processing plants. They received so much damage through the storm, to the equipment, to the coolers, that it was not feasible for these folks to come back.
Now it's for sale, along with several other plants that were once the city's largest employers. As far as the businesses that have reopened, few are at full capacity because of a ripple effect from Hurricane Katrina, which put fishermen out of business all along the Gulf Coast. More than 80% of the oysters processed in Bayou La Batrie come from Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas. Even before the hurricane, city leaders were looking for ways to lessen the town's dependence on the seafood industry. The city council chambers were lined with sketches of a developer's plan to turn the town into a French-style village along the bayou. Debbie Jones says the plans have been put on hold for now, but could be just what Bayou La Batrie needs.
Years ago, when my grandmother was little, this was a place everybody wanted to come to for the seafood and for the hotels along the waterfront. And I kind of envision boardwalks, maybe some nice shops and restaurants. You know, seafood's here and it's going to be here. You know, that's my great-grandparents were in that business, and I certainly can see it complementing each other. Sounds like thunder. You could work it to be a tourist kind of thing, too. A big thing when I was growing up in the third grade, you got to come down here and go on a shrimp boat and learn how they... That was a field trip that we had, you know. So I guess a field trip for adults, if you will, you know. We're not going to wake up in the morning and be surrounded by condos and townhouses, but eventually I think it will happen.
Even this quick storm overwhelms the town's damaged drainage system. And before long, the streets are streaming with water. It's hard to imagine a big resort here when the terracotta drain pipes can barely handle a spring thunderstorm. Since Hurricane Katrina, many families have left Bayou La Batrie, Alabama. Recovery coordinator Debbie Jones estimates at least 300 people are gone for good, pushing the town's population under 2,000. Those who've stayed are trying to decide if they can face another hurricane season. When we first met Charlie and Jody Schultz just after the storm, they were working late into the night to rebuild their small wood frame house across from a shipyard. This had been Jody's grandmother's house, and Hurricane Katrina reduced it down to the studs. They were determined to stay.
Yeah, we're going to hang in here to the last. Probably the last ones to go.
Now, Jody and Charlie Schultz are just about finished with their house. Jody is working full-time at a boatyard in the next town over. He says he'd like to see more progress in Bayou La Batrie by now. His wife, Charlie, says she's had it.
Ready to go.
Are you really?
Yeah. I'm ready to go.
Why?
I don't want to go through another hurricane. You just lose too much. I just don't like bad weather, period. I was scared to death yesterday when that come through here.
The thunderstorm?
It was bad. I had enough.
Do you ever think it's time to move?
Well, yeah. And, you know, if someone came in and made us an offer that we couldn't pass up, then, you know, we'd go ahead and go. There's been a lot of talk about it. It'll probably be this big condo resort town like everybody's talking. Small town life will be over with.
Back at the Blessing of the Fleet Festival, a rain-soaked morning has turned to sunshine. A street parade winds through town, leading the Archbishop to a wooden dock just below the Bayou La Batrie drawbridge. About 30 boats are tied up so close you can step from one to the other. There are far fewer boats than in years past, but the mood is still festive. People have affixed colorful decorations to their boats, like the poster board replicas of the Bible atop the mast of the Cajun Baby.
We got our Bibles on both sides of the boat.
Your Bibles up there?
Yes, ma'am.
Up on the top there?
Up on top.
And what do they say?
give a man a fish, feed him for a day, teach a man to fish, feed him for a lifetime.
Anthony Nelson Jr. is on the 30-foot shrimp boat with his brother and father and their families. Anthony Nelson Sr. is waiting for the Archbishop to arrive to bless their boats.
I mean, I believe in blessing a boat, you know, and because all we got's God anyway, so we bless boats, you know.
Are you worried at all that Bayou La Batrie may lose its seafood industry?
We not going to lose it because we ain't going to let it be lost because I've never had a steady job in my life. I've always been a commercial fisherman. I've never punched a time clock. I couldn't even tell you how to punch a time clock. You know, I'm not leaving the bayou. And this is my best friend, Bubba. He owns a boat, too. You know, I'm Bubba.
We'll keep it alive.
We're going to keep it alive. Just me and you. We're going to be right here. If we ain't but two boats in the blessing, it's going to be ours.
As Bubba Bryant and Anthony Nelson ready to push away from the pier, Archbishop Oscar Lipscomb boards the pilot boat Alabama and climbs to the bow in his flowing white robe. He uses holy water from the bayou to bless the fleet.
If y'all notice any of them lodged up on the ground where we can't see them, point those out, we'll bless those too.
The boats that have followed behind now circle around, and people on the boats and on shore stretch their arms toward the Archbishop for a personal blessing, reaching for the hope that a new shrimp season brings. A new hurricane season opens Thursday. To meet some of the people of Bayou La Batrie, go to our website, npr.org. Our piece was produced by Tracy Wall and recorded by Bill Deputy, Rob Byers, and Carlos Gomez. This is NPR News.